Welcome to the Mindful Moments for Families and Schools podcast. This is Kelly Winkler, your host. If you are a parent or a teacher who would like to have a more peaceful, calm, and centered environment, then you are in the right place. In this podcast, we will learn to weave yoga and mindfulness into your daily routines to help both you and your children be able to regulate your emotions, feel connected, and be resilient. I'm excited to share these incredible tools with you, so let's get started. Welcome back to Mindful Moments for Families and Schools. This is your host, Kelly. I'm excited today to have on Sophie Spohr. Sophie is a French yoga teacher and mom of three, established in Singapore since 2007. She created So Yoga to teach yoga to kids, families, and adults in Singapore, and aims to bring fun and happiness, peace and relaxation through yoga. Sophie specializes in kids yoga and also for children with special needs. She is a registered MOE instructor. So Yoga school program is implemented in 14 schools, and Sophie has taught over 3,500 hours of yoga. Sophie wrote and published 3 kids' yoga books, released boxes of 50 kids' yoga cards, mats, and accessories, all to practice yoga from anywhere under her brand name, Mini Yogi. I'm excited for you all to hear this episode with Sophie. She had so many wonderful things to share, so let's dive in. Welcome, Sophie.
Hi, Kelly.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the other side of the world.
I know. It's so wonderful. I love connecting with people, and it's so incredible that we can be on opposite ends of the world and be having this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would love to start out by just having you tell us about you and your journey in your own yoga practice.
Yeah, sure. So, my name is Sophie. As you can tell pretty quickly, I'm French. I've been living in Singapore for 14 years now. I came here after living 2 years in New York, and I was working in the sports industry. I was organizing large events like marathon and cycling events and so. And then I had kids, so I have 3 girls now. They are 12, 8, and 3 years old. And and I think just after my first child, I started a little bit of yoga. And especially when I became pregnant of my second child, I was starting some prenatal yoga. And I got more and more into it. And I think when I returned to my job after having my second baby, then I don't know, I was even more into running, and my body changed, or somehow it became quite tight, and that's where I actually started doing more and more yoga, following a friend actually, and yeah, I think my running passion just held over into yoga passion, and now I've been a yoga teacher for adults, kids, and family for 7 years now. So yeah, it's a lovely experience.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? Our bodies, what we need and what we crave changes over time, especially once after we have kids. Right? That what we what worked for us before doesn't necessarily work. And so it's beautiful to find new ways to feed our body and what our body needs. So I love that.
And to feel good.
Yes. So what's your recommendation if someone is wanting to begin a yoga and mindfulness practice for themselves? What would you recommend how they get started? I think some people get overwhelmed at, where to begin.
Yeah, sure. And because now everybody's doing yoga and meditation and mindfulness, it could be a little bit intimidating for beginners, actually. And I guess where I come from, I think, as I was saying, I was running a lot, and I did try yoga in Paris when I was 21, I think, and I hated it. And that was, I think, 5 years later when I tried again in New York, and I still didn't like it. So I had to go all the way to Singapore or whatever and try yoga with a friend in a new, you know, environment. And that was a new type of yoga that I guess I didn't try before. Or was it because I was myself in a different mindset? I don't know. But I guess what I'm trying to say is the clue is to keep trying. Maybe something that doesn't work at 20 could work at 30 years old or 40 years old. I'm not saying we should wait until we get older, but I would recommend, yeah, keep trying different at different times, trying different masters or coaches, different styles of yoga, and I really do believe that yoga is for everyone. We can see so many different styles of yoga now that I think it could fit really a big range of people. And I think for me, I wouldn't talk too much about meditation because I'm not the type of person who can sit and, you know, cross legs and meditate for 1 hour. I'm much more into mindfulness. And I think that I was reading a book many years ago, and they say that you should pick something that you love. So it could be like preparing your tea and enjoying your tea. And every day when you prepare your tea, you boil the water, you whatever, and then you enjoy the perfume of the tea and sip it out. That's your 5 minutes of me time. That's your mindfulness, because you only focus on your action at the moment. And I realized that was quite a good tip for me. I didn't have to sit down and do nothing. I could do something that I love. So it could be, you know, preparing tea, but it could be walking the dog or whatever it is. Find something that you love and just do it. So for me, it was like taking a bath and just taking my bath. And that was my mindfulness exercise for many years.
I love both of those tips. First of all, you're right with yoga. There's so many options. There's so many different styles, so many different teachers. And I think you're right. You just keep trying until you find one that fits for you, because there is just so many choices that I do think that yoga is for everyone, and everyone can find some form or another that works for them. But that the mindfulness tip, that I agree 100%. That is what I talk about a lot, is just in weaving it into your day and things that you're already doing, and then just really paying attention when you're doing those things, even if it's like you said, taking a bath or brushing your teeth and just noticing the smell of the toothpaste and all of the sensations, and you're tuning in to all of your senses and really just being in that moment is a powerful practice.
Yeah, absolutely. So I
love that. So then when did you become interested in actually teaching yoga and teaching yoga to both adults and to children? Did that happen at the same time, or did you start teaching one and then the other?
Yeah, I think I didn't do it in the more conventional way, because I was teaching kids before teaching adults. So I've always wanted to work with kids, and I don't know why I didn't do it, but I've always wanted, as a child, I wanted to be like a speech therapist or occupational therapist. And, you know, life is that I did a business school and I was traveling. So I'm grateful for that, because I was able to travel a lot. But I was still, you know, trying to find the right path for me. And it had to be around children. I knew that. And as I became more addicted to yoga, I completely randomly found a kids yoga teacher training in Singapore made by Rainbow Kids Yoga. And I signed up for the program. It was just like 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the Monday after, I quitted my job, because it was such an awakening. You know, it was like, oh my God, this is what I want to do. It was like love at first sight. It was quite incredible when you know that's for you. It's quite com- quite amazing. So I did my kids yoga teacher training at first, and then I started to teach a little bit here and there in condos and stuff. And I realized that I didn't find myself legitimate, I guess, because I didn't have my 200 hours. So 3 months later, I took my 200 hours just to give me the confidence of teaching kids, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But during the teacher training, we were asked to teach among our peers and other trainers. And I realized that adults are grown-up kids, and it's actually quite fun to teach adults as well. So at the end, I'm teaching both of them. My love, my heart, my passion is really around children. But I do enjoy teaching adults as well. And I think the way I teach adults is not so serious. They can probably feel that I'm a kid yoga teacher in the first place, and they must find my classes are fun, or I don't know. But yeah, so that was my path. So it was really focusing around children.
Yeah, I had a similar experience. I did my kids yoga teacher training first before I did my 200 hour as well. And I had a similar experience. I didn't quit my job right away, but I fell in love with my when I did my kids yoga training. That was a weekend training the same. And, you know, I've talked about this before, but I actually, after the first day of the training, I got in my car to go home, and I just cried because I thought, this is what I want to do. This is my path. You know, I had worked with kids. Yeah. I was a teacher and worked with kids in many different capacities, but this just felt like you said, you fell in love right away. And I felt the same way. It's really, really an amazing experience to have that.
Yeah, we're lucky to have found this, and lucky to, I mean, I feel grateful every day because I love spending time with kids. To me, when I teach kids yoga, I don't feel like working really. I love the joy. I mean, so some friends are like, oh my God, they take so much energy. And I'm like, yeah, but they give you so much energy in return.
Absolutely.
And there's no repetition. It's so yeah, for me, it's
a joy.
The perfect job.
Yeah. Yes. I love it. Well, can you tell us, what does the kids yoga industry look like in Singapore?
I mean, Singapore is, but as part of Asia, I think everybody's doing yoga over here.
Mm-hmm.
But kids yoga is not so mature compared to, I don't know in the US, but I know, for instance, in the UK, it's pretty settled and pretty popular now. In India, kids do kids yoga at the age of 6 at school and stuff, but in Singapore it's not that common. So I was quite lucky, because when I did try to approach schools, I wouldn't say I was the first one, but I was pretty early when there was no so-called competition, so I could build up some good relationships with the schools and start to teach in many schools around here. They trust me, and I'm lucky for that. So I'm, yeah, teaching a lot in international schools, mostly as after school activities. Local school it's a complete different way of teaching. Local schools, I wouldn't say they would probably need a few more years, but it's different. It's a little bit more difficult to approach local schools, I would say.
Okay, so you're mostly in the international schools there.
Yes, some local schools, but it really has to be agreed by the principal and in the academic system, because they don't have so much after school activities. It's a different calendar for the kids here.
Okay.
So I do lots of international school, a few local school, and lots of kindergarten, where we have more freedom, you know, to bring a wide range of activities for the kids. Yeah.
Nice. And I know one of your specialties is also working with the special needs population of children. So I'd love to get into that topic a little bit deeper. And how did you get started in working with that population? And what's been your experience and the benefit for them?
Well, but because I was teaching many, many kids, and in one of the sessions in one semester, there was a child who had who presented challenges, and he was, I mean, he was integrated well with the rest of the class. It was just my first approach as a yoga teacher with this type of child. And when I realized that, oh my God, this little boy needed more yoga than anyone, then I was like, okay, well, I know what to do next. And I'm now teaching in lots of centers in Singapore, actually, where they have small groups of kids and teens with mostly ADHD and autism spectrum. It's not the easiest, but again, it's giving, and you got so much in return. And especially when you see the amount of anxiety, tension, on a physical level and emotional level of these kids, that yoga is amazing for them. You can tell because it's quite a frank relationship in any way. So you can tell straight away the release on their face and on their body. So it is difficult, and I'm glad that I didn't start with that, because you need to be quite strong on an emotional point of view as well. Because all the classes are different, that the thing as well. You never know, the reaction of special children are quite unpredictable. So one class goes perfectly and you don't know why, but the week after, it looks like a disaster. But it doesn't mean that the kids don't have the benefits, but it's difficult to adjust and adapt. So
Yes.
yeah,
Yeah,
loss of really resilience.
yes, and there's a lot of different factors that play into it. I wanted to talk a little bit about the differences between your average classes and then those special needs classes, just for people listening who may want to think about the special needs population, or even for parents who may have special children. What is maybe some approaches that are different that you utilize?
I'd like to stick to a ritual, to a routine, because the more changes you bring, the more lost the kids could become, and it's quite challenging for them to adapt. So I think the first thing is, yeah, the my yoga for kids yoga, special needs kids, is much more like a routine and a ritual. Being careful of the light of the environment to create a soft atmosphere, which we don't do so much in regular classes, I would say. So quite repetitive, zen, like a quiet atmosphere. And I think the main difference would be that for special children, you need to use your own body a lot more, unless you have assistant, but then they need to use their own body to help the kids as well. Because as they have motor development delay or weaknesses or low muscle tone, they need your help to move their limb or their arm into specific positions, so that they get into the pose and they get the benefits out of the pose. So there's a lot of, yeah, physical assistance, hands-on and touch compared to regular classes, I would say. What else could I say? I think probably the classes are shorter as well, maybe more, simplified as well, of course. And yeah, even more gentle, I would say. So I use my softer voice when I teach them.
Yeah, and how about like props or music? Do you have to kind of And do you communicate with the caregivers or the teachers ahead of time to know if there's certain things that might trigger those students for, you know, in specific situations as far as noise level and things like that? Yeah.
You need to be, very aware of signs when the kids show, signs of overloads, whether in sensory or physical or emotional overload. So that the caregiver or myself can, take a break with that specific child and comfort him. Sometimes it's just a good hug or bringing him or her to a quiet corner in the room or having a walk outside, whatever it is, and whether we bring the child in back or not. The number of stimulations is something that we have to be really aware of. So the music should be very soft. It helps to create a soft and quiet environment, but it needs to be really, really soft, because the music and the voice of the teacher and probably of the caregivers and the other kids, because they make sounds and noise, is overloading for anyone, and especially for them. So I would say, I reduce the number of stimulation and of course lots of discussion with the caregivers before, so I know, the mindset of the kids before they enter the room. So they would tell me that he was sad this morning, or so we need to be even more careful with that child on that day.
Yeah, those are really, really great tips. I mean, I think it's really important in general that we really pay attention to our students and, when they're in our classes and really kind of look for those little cues that we might find, just see in their face or their body posture and how they're reacting to certain things, but especially for the special needs population, it's really important to be in tune, right, with your students and paying attention to those little cues that you might see.
Exactly. The pattern of breathing as well, of course, is quite important. But as a teacher, I need to be even more alert, I would say.
Yes. That's a great tip. And it's, as you said, some of these students or all of these students, really, yoga can be so beneficial for this population. And so it's important that we, I think, pay attention to those so that the student can learn to enjoy the activity that could be so beneficial for them, and that they're not then turned off to it. Because of all of those things, the sensory issues or anything that might be difficult for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I love those tips. Mm-hmm. So I also know that you've written some children's yoga books, and I would love to hear about that and what was the inspiration and how you went about doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've created and I written kids yoga books and a set of cards under a different called Mini Yogi, and it all came quite naturally, because I was I kept receiving inquiries for more and more classes that became impossible to do when I was pregnant of my third child. So the question is, I had to stop for a while, and also, at some point, it's quite exhausting to commute to every single part of the country to give classes. So I was thinking of a way to bring yoga into the kids' life in a smart way, and also because parents kept asking me how to practice as a family at home, what exercises can we do? So it all became quite important that I wanted to bring in yoga into my students' homes. So that's why I've created a range of articles to make yoga accessible from anywhere, which is quite a good timing with the COVID. I think it went pretty good as well. But the idea was to have beautiful and soft items, joyful and fun to inspire kids and their parents to practice yoga from home or anywhere.
That's really, really nice. And that you're right. Great timing because, yeah, you couldn't get out into the schools and everything. So then they could utilize your cards and your books. That's like wonderful.
Yeah, it was like I saw it like as an extension in the beginning, and actually now I'm sending in, you know, other parts of the world where I'm not teaching. So it's pretty cool, and I guess my vision since the beginning was to bring yoga to as many kids as possible, to bring, you know, happiness and peace through yoga to every single child in Singapore. That was my idea. So that's why I've started to work with schools as well at the beginning, because I saw it as an interesting way to reach out to more children. And the books and the cards I'm doing follow the same inspirations. Give children tools for them to grow their yoga practice and their mindfulness practice at their own timing.
Yes, I love that you just said that, because that's what I talk about a lot. Bringing yoga into schools makes it so much more accessible to all the kids, because not every child can get to a yoga studio or even an after school program. So bringing it to the schools where the kids are already is really a great way to make it accessible. And then the books and the cards, you don't even have to be there, right? Then the teachers and the caregivers can bring it through your work. So that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Do you have a favorite teaching moment that you'd like to share about a specific student that you worked with or a class?
Difficult one, because really, I think my favorite moment is when I wake up the students, young or a little bit less young, after Shavasana, and when I see their relaxed face and their smiles on their face, is really my favorite moment of my day. So I'm lucky to. I would not say all the classes end up with beautiful and bright smiles, but I try my best, and that's really something that I do look forward in my classes. And I guess my other thing would be that you never know. Even though I don't get a beautiful smile at the end of the class, you never know. I was surprised one day. I got a message from a mom who said that her daughter loved my yoga classes. And that little girl at that time didn't do much during my classes. She was, you know, it was probably a group of 6 or 8 kids, and she was a shy one. So, you know, my approach is not to force anyone. You go at your own pace, and, you know, don't. I'm not bringing the attention to her, but you do what you can at your own pace. And really, she was not doing much at all. And when the mom sent me that message and I tried to know a little bit more, she said, yeah, well, at home, she enrolled the yoga mats and she's our yoga teacher, and she teaches us every single pose that she had learned with you. And I couldn't predict that. So
that was beautiful.
Yeah,
I love that. You never know, even when you don't think that they're taking it in, you know, they are. So I always think that too, because even sometimes, like for those kids that maybe are hesitant to participate for shyness or anxiety or whatever that might be, or even the child who doesn't seem focused and seems like they're not paying attention and maybe having some other kinds of behaviors, they too still are sometimes taking it in. Cause that's happened to me with in that opposite scenario where I had a very lively child who didn't seem to be really focused throughout class. And, but then I had a message from the mom too saying, oh, he came home and he taught us everything. It was like, class for his siblings and for her husband and her. And so you never know when they're taking it in, and that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all these tips with us. It was really, really great connecting with you. I'd love for you to also let us know, where can our listeners connect with you and find you on social media and find your books and your cards?
Yeah. Well, they can look out at my website. So it's miniyogi.com, where I have the range of yoga mats and books and cards. Instagram and Facebook is Happy Mini Yogi. So Mini Yogi with a happy in front.
Okay.
So that's mostly the main channels. Yeah.
Great. I will link those in the show notes. And again, thank you so much, Sophie,
for
joining us. It was great connecting with you.
Thank you. Same for me. You take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on my mission to spread peace and joy by introducing children and families to the power of yoga and mindfulness. I could not achieve this goal without all of you listening and trying these tips with the kids in your life. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, please subscribe and leave me a review. If you would also suggest this podcast to parents and teachers, I would be so grateful. If you would like to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at Mindful Moments for Families and on Facebook at Kidding Around Yoga with Kelly. For more information on my offered programs, such as yoga classes for children and adults, workshops and professional development, and corporate chair yoga, visit my website at kiddingaroundyoga.com/Kelly. I'll see you all here on our next episode, but in the meantime, remember, take a deep breath.